It's the Dr. Bill Deagle Show, presented by NutraMedical.com. Call live 818-818-6401.
And welcome back to the NutraMedical Report. We have, of course, Harley Schlanger here from the Roos Foundation. Harley, I'd like you to give us the latest on your take on American and international news. What's going
on? Well, I think there are a couple things that are worth reporting. One of which is, I think your listeners are probably aware of, the expose of this whole fraud of the Ukraine gate story.
Right.
The fact the whistleblower's been identified. He's a partisan Democrat, part of John Brennan's stable, worked with Susan Rice and Biden. That this guy Vindman may be in the U.S. Army, but he sounds like a deep plant Ukrainian operative.
Right. You know,
he's originally from Ukraine. But more interestingly, the lawyer, Bakich, who represents the so-called whistleblower, is part of this group called Whistleblower Aid, which has ties to the Southern Poverty Law Center and, of course, George Soros.
Soros group, of course. I know he's involved with that, and also Ukrainagate, isn't he, Soros?
Well, of course. Anything bad, yeah. Soros is in it. But this attorney, back in early 2017, tweeted out, "The coup is on," in a reference to the Russiagate story. And so here's a guy who's presenting himself as an attorney for a whistleblower who is only interested in the best for the country, when in fact he's been working for this coup operation going back to its beginnings.
Right.
So this is, of course, par for the course. The I just wrote an article. I hadn't sent it to you yet, but the...
You'll have it posted up on your site, which is LaRouche, LaRouchePac.com. The other site is PUB.com, LaRouchePUB.com. Go ahead.
What I write about is that the personnel that were involved in the coup in Ukraine in February 2014 are the same people who were involved in Russiagate, and they're the same people now involved in Ukrainegate.
Right.
And in each case, the question has to be, since Donald Trump wasn't involved in Ukraine in 2014, why would these same personnel go from overthrowing Yanukovych and pushing an anti-Russian NATO policy, why would they then go into the whole Russiagate against Trump?
Right.
And including in this network is Christopher Steele. Christopher Steele was involved in the original Ukraine coup. He was in Kiev. He was sending memos to the State Department.
Yeah, he was involved in the original thing back before Trump even ran for office, right?
This is in February 2014.
Yeah.
And this gets to the real intent of what's behind Russiagate, which is it's not even about Trump. It's about U.S.-Russian policy.
Right.
And the fact that Trump was willing to break with the geopolitical consensus, the British, the Anglo-American consensus, that there must always be conflict and confrontation between the U.S. and Russia, the U.S. and China. That this is an essential factor of modern life.
Well, it goes back over 100 years because the British actually supported with the Vatican the setting up of the Russian Revolution. It's entirely a British operation. In fact, it was collaborated by America.
Even before that, Bill, it goes back to the...
I know it does. Go ahead.
The 1840s, when there was something called the Great Game, where the Russians were extending their influence into the Caucasus, the Trans-Caucasus region, what is today Uzbekistan, Tajikistan. And the British feared that the Russians would use the opportunity to go through the Khyber Pass in Afghanistan to kick British out of India.
Right.
So to protect the British Empire in India, the Indian subcontinent, they were fighting the Russians in Afghanistan. And British troops died. Remember, there was the Crimean War in the 1850s.
Right.
So you have this whole inter-imperial rivalry between the British Empire and the Russian Empire.
Right.
Now, it turns out that there's no evidence that the Russians actually intended to move in and take over India.
Right.
You know, there was a comment.
It's just British Masonic paranoia, right?
Well, there was a comment that someone from the from Russia was talking in during Peter the Great's time that they wanted a warm water port. So
yeah, I remember that was actually a statement by Peter the Great that's well known, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you look at Russia itself, I mean, Peter the Great extended and developed the whole city of St. Petersburg, but the water around it is frozen half the year.
Right. So the only surprising water port they have is on the Black Sea, which they have a republic south of the three nations of Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, and they even have their own military base and nuclear missile launching site there. But the Russians had no intentions of this. In fact, if anything, they should be a natural ally to the West, and that's why after America bought Alaska, which is in the 1870s from Russia, as a thank you for actually supporting the American Revolution, that was a thank you, believe it or not. People don't realize that. The British got really ticked off even with America, didn't they?
Well, to finish the point on the middle of the 19th century,
right.
You had the Ottoman Empire was collapsing. Turkey going through 100 years collapse.
Right.
And the British were afraid that if that became a vacuum, which would mean the area from Constantinople down to the Red Sea to the Indian Ocean would become open area for competition.
Right.
The British wanted to control it because they saw that as the land bridge between Asia, Europe, and Africa.
Right.
And so this is where British geopolitics comes in. The British decided they had to control that territory. They took over the Suez Canal in the 1880s when the French went bankrupt, because that was a key transshipment center. They went into Aden in what's now Yemen and set up a port there. They were doing everything they could to control the Persian Gulf, and of course that was an entrance to the Indian Ocean. So the British were looking at this as an area of conflict between the Russian Empire and the British Empire, with the Turkish Empire collapsing. And then the third empire in the region was what? It was the Habsburg Empire, the declining Austro-Hungarian Empire. So the whole British strategy leading to World War I was to pit Germany against Russia. The fear they had was if Russia and Germany became allies.
Right.
And there was a lot of intent. Bismarck intended to work with the Russians. The Russian foreign minister and finance minister, Sergei Vita, wanted to work with Germany to construct the Trans-Siberian Railroad. The Germans were talking about the Berlin to Baghdad Railroad. So in somewhat mimicking the Transcontinental Railroad in the United States, there was partnerships of sovereign, they were empires, but nevertheless they were nations that were looking out for their own interests. But they went against British imperial interests, which wanted to control world trade through the deep water ports and were threatened by the idea that you could move goods over land. And so this led to a document written by a man who became a sir later on, Halford Mackinder, a lecturer in geography at the London School of Economics. Mackinder called it the geopolitical pivot of history. And his theory was summed up in who controls the Eastern Europe, Eurasian heartland, controls the world island.
Right.
And that the room countries, namely Britain and the United States, have to work together against that. Now, the problem that the British had is the United States didn't want to be allied with the British then. They were actually working with the Japanese, the Meiji Restoration. They were working with the Russians, with Count Sergei Vita. They were working with the French and the Germans on carrying out American system economic policies. You know, it's interesting. Bismarck, when he first was the chancellor and unified Germany by defeating the French in 1871, Bismarck was a rabid free trader, a British system guy. And the unified Germany went into a real estate speculation bubble, which popped, and Germany was being clobbered by cheap grain coming in from Russia and cheap steel coming in from Britain. So Bismarck sent people to the United States to ask them, what are you guys doing that's enabling you to develop as a strong national economy? And they came back working with a banker named von Kardoff. And using the policies of Henry Carey, who had been Lincoln's chief economist, whose father was a close friend of Benjamin Franklin, they brought the American system to Germany. And all of a sudden, Germany came out against free trade. They came out in favor of national banking rather than having private banks control all the credit. And all of a sudden, you had a German economy that boomed in the 1880s right. and 90s.
Which is
and
what that, Trump's trying to do now, isn't it? You see, Trump's yeah. coming against the international bankers. He wants to collaborate with China about an international project called the Belt and Road. It's not just Chinese. And people don't get it that he wants to bring Russia back into the G8, which means they'll probably remove their nuclear weapons and they'll actually realize they're our natural ally. And it's like you say, it's the continentalists, which are Russians and the Chinese and Americans, against the British, who control the seas for the last couple hundred years. That's what's well, going on. And, isn't it? They also control the bubble economy in Guernsey and Jersey Islands and in America at Cayman Island. And this bubble economy is about to pop. That's what's going on, right?
Well, that's of course what's going on. But to just carry through the continuity after World War One was largely a British plot to pit the Russians against the Germans and the Germans against the French.
And right, and the agreement afterward of World War One was so vicious, it precipitated by example and by cause the Second World War, which really was just an interlude between World War One and Two. They were all basically one war, weren't they?
Well, also the collapse of Russia in World War One was used as the opportunity to bring in the Bolshevik Revolution. You know, in the first revolution in 1917 was called the Democratic Revolution, and it was in February, and this involved German networks and others that were trying to make sure that Russia would get out of the war. And of course, that was also the policy of the Bolsheviks. Lenin and others right. wanted to get Russia out of the war. And once, as the war continued, and the February Revolution didn't do anything, you had the October Revolution, which brought the Bolsheviks to power, which right. was, you know, the British basically had control over both parties, the Constitutional yeah. Party and then the Bolshevik Party. And, right. and yeah. after the Bolsheviks came in, and Lenin double-crossed them, because Lenin said, Lenin sent his negotiators to negotiate with the Germans after World War One. Instead of accepting the Versailles Treaty, which punished Germany, the Russians said, right. we want to trade with Germany. And so they had right. a conference in Rapallo, Italy, where they reached an agreement. And the German who signed the agreement, Walter Rathenau, was assassinated. And right. The Russian situation was disrupted by a guy named Bukharin, who was a British agent. And next thing you know, the potential of the Russians and the Germans to have an economic alliance was again broken. And, of course, right, Germany...
By the way, on purpose. And by the way, let me insert a few factoids that are kind of complete this picture. The Volga River plant was built by Ford Corporation and from America on the Volga River to build tanks to preemptively attack Germany from the Eastern Front. Secondly, World War One, America had a series of troops from South Carolina, and Canadians had the Highlander Division that marched into St. Petersburg and Moscow and held the cities for 6 months until the October Revolution, when the guns arrived from Virginia for the Bolsheviks to be able to, they didn't even have pop guns. And the fact that the Vatican and the Jesuits and the British were directly involved with setting up the Russian Revolution. It was all on purpose. And people need to know that the first people they killed there were the religious Jews that were against it, and the aware and very academically aware Russian Orthodox Church leaders. So they're the first people they killed. Plus, you always get comedians, poets, and musicians that will tell the truth. So the Russian Revolution was completely managed by the British. And even, as I say, Second World War was a consequence to the British not getting their way, which is to set up the New World Order. So the New World Order came out of World War One and Two,
well,
all managed by the British. So
you're jumping over one very important point, Bill, which is
I know you'll add it just 1 second, though. The British, though, are involved with America setting up the United... Yeah, exactly, the finance Hitler. They did it on purpose, so they have an enemy. They even had the Krupp Foundation building armaments for the British to actually shoot at German sites. Krupp, K-R-U-P-P. So it's very evil. It's a managed war, isn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Legacy Emergency Foods is the top recommendation from Dr. Bill Deagle. For the lowest oxygen concentration, the largest entrees, the highest amount of protein, the most varied entrees as well, and the longest food storage life. Nothing like Legacy Emergency Foods, and if you place a regular monthly order, you get 20% off and free shipping. Do get emergency foods for your supply for preparation and get it from Legacy Foods. Contact Dr. Bill Deagle for the link at NutraMedical.com. Go to the Shop by Products link and drop down message at NutraMedical.com and then place your orders for regular emergency food for yourself and your family. Nothing like emergency food if the power goes out and you can't go to grocery stores or if there's an emergency or a national crisis. So NutraMedical.com, top recommendation, Legacy Foods. NutraMedical.com, go to the Shop by Products and drop-down menu, and stay well with NutraMedical every day of your life. Lumen Photon Therapy, infrared light, far and near infrared, is extremely important for pain control, simulation of nitric oxide, improved perfusion, and stem cell activation and reduction of cytokines. Dr. Bill uses it for pain control, for regeneration techniques, for organ regeneration, and for stimulation of your stem cell activity. This amazing Lumen Photon Therapy this year will probably have an additional device with frequency therapy during the on phase of the lights. To obtain a Lumen Photon machine, contact Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871. He'll prescribe it with providing nutraceuticals to help with your regeneration, healing, and pain control. Nothing like the Lumen Photon Therapy for easy therapy for your eyes, your pain, your joints, regeneration of organs, detoxification of the body. Get a Lumen Photon machine from Dr. Bill Deagle, NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871, to stay well with NutraMedical. The Sonic Life Machine is one of the most amazing therapies that Dr. Bill provides. It is the best sine wave exercise machine on the planet, doing whole body vibration, opening up the muscle to reduce insulin resistance, improve perfusion, release stem cell therapy throughout the body, and epigenetically stimulate the body to release DNA activated. The epigenetic therapy with the sine wave curve of frequencies given for atomic resonance, but Linus Pauling for minerals and amino acids, stimulates the production of messenger RNA to correct structural protein enzyme deficiency for almost every illness. There's nothing like the sine wave therapy for improving body healing for exercise, but also the epigenetic treatments Dr. Bill can provide can help neutralize frequencies for disease states and illness. Get a Sonic Life machine through Dr. Bill Deagle at NutraMedical.com. Contact us at NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871, or go to the website NutraMedical and give us a contact. Dr. Bill is available to help you get well with NutraMedical.
Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
So, Harley, you know, I know you're a busy guy, but you know what? We should probably do some video. I could even do a mini conference with you and other people from LaRouche. I have the capability of doing high definition video up to five people anywhere in the world, and I can do it either after the show or even an earlier time because you guys are much later. You're in Berlin, Germany, on the weekend, say in the morning, which will be, you know, more reasonable time for you. And I can do a multi-site conference because your knowledge is amazing. I mean, you know all the ugly facts. Like, for example, our primary enemy is the intel agencies that are the fourth arm of government that run the world. And that's why when you hear Brennan and Clapper making statements against Trump, you have to understand the publicly elected officials of every nation and the rise of populism is a major enemy against the, you want to call it, the deep state that's running the whole world. And it extends beyond the British Empire. They're just the incarnation of this beast system. And the Queen and the Rothschilds are just parts of the functionary claws of it. And what we're seeing is that the rise of communism in not only Russia and China, but right now in America with the Democrats, I call the demon rats, same term as Dr. Judge Pirro, who's originally from Syria, like my ancestors, people on my mother's side, people have to understand what's going on. You've got all the facts. You're just amazing at how you fire off these facts like Big Bang. And people need to understand the enemy of Trump is a New World Order run by these evil monsters that actually put Lyndon in jail. And that's why you mentioned this meeting, and I want you to repeat it, because at that meeting, Lyndon was told by the guy in Germany how he was a major adversary. Can you repeat that, please?
Well, the person he had dinner with was the Count von Thurn and Taxis, which is spelled T-H-U-R-N, und, U-N-D, Taxis, T-A-X-I-S. The word taxi comes from that family.
Really?
Because they were the ones who ran the messenger services for the Holy Roman Empire going back to the 12th century. So this is an old family that became very wealthy because
right.
If you know in advance who's invading who, who's paying for it, where the money's coming from, you can make a lot of money. That's one of the principles of European banking.
Yeah.
Exactly. By the way, along with the Fugger Bank of Germany, these were the models for the Rothschilds. So before
right.
the Rothschilds, they were latecomers, really, in the financing of the European oligarchy. But anyway,
right.
Count von Thurn and Taxis he and his wife, who's actually quite a celebrity now, a jet setter, Gloria von Thurn and Taxis. Anyway, he had Lyndon and Helga LaRouche over for dinner.
What year would this be, roughly?
Oh, this was, I think, probably in the early 1980s.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And
go ahead.
As the dinner progressed, he got more and more agitated. And they were having the dinner down in the wine cellar at their huge mansion in Regensburg, Germany,
right.
Which is not too far. It's in Bavaria, not too far from Munich. And at a
right.
certain point, he turned to Lynn and he said, you know, I realize now you are an adversary, and I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And 2 days later, when Helga was traveling on the Autobahn, there was a projectile fired into her car, which hit the tire. And as you know, cars go very fast on the Autobahn.
Oh, yeah, fastest tire freeway on the planet. Yeah, go ahead.
It was only because she had a professional driver running the car that it didn't go off the road and kill her.
Right.
So she took that, and Lynn, of course, said that was a warning sent from Thurn and Taxis. Now, the reason that's important is that these are the networks, the old oligarchy of Europe, that had for many centuries control over nations, and
right.
they would work deals with each other, but primarily their concern was to prevent those countries that were not controlled by their intermarriage-related families to
right.
keep those countries from developing. And one of their fears was always the Russians because,
right.
you know, Russia, despite the fact that you had the Tsar, I mean, Peter the Great was a brilliant character. He brought in Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz, who was, in a sense, a mentor to Ben Franklin. Peter the Great brought in Leibniz to develop St. Petersburg. and set up the Russian Academy of Sciences there. You had a number of these figures in Russia who were, you had an intellectual tradition, and they were pro-American. Catherine the Great was the Empress of Russia, the Tsarina of Russia, at the time of the American Revolution. And she joined with other Europeans to form the League of Armed Neutrality against the British to help protect the
American... year would that be? About mid-1860s,
1860s, right? That was during the American Revolution, 1780s.
Right, so that's part of the reason why, as this progressed, Russia actually defended America during the Revolution against Britain, didn't they?
Well, the League of Armed Neutrality basically told the British that we're not going to take sides in this war, but you'd better not continue this war and try to use your forces in Europe to support the war. In other words, they wanted to make sure that they weren't buying weapons from France or doing things of that sort. And so the French king was part of this. Gustav, the king of Sweden, who was later assassinated, he was part of the League of Armed Neutrality. And the key person was Empress Catherine of Russia. So then during the Civil War...
Wasn't she originally German, too, Empress Catherine?
Yeah, she was. She was. During the American Civil War, Tsar Alexander II, who was known as the Tsar Liberator because he saw what Lincoln did to free the slaves with the Emancipation Proclamation, he had a similar proposal for freeing the serfs of Russia, with the idea being that, that free men working on their own land are more productive than virtual slaves who are owned by the local landowners. Now, Alexander II, when the British threatened to blockade the ports of San Francisco, New York, and elsewhere, the Russians sent part of their fleet to New York.
Isn't that wild? Isn't that wild? They actually sent a fleet kind of threatening the British not to do that, right? Not to go in there.
Because, the point is, there's a point LaRouche has made always that people, for the most part, it doesn't fully register because you have a wrong idea of America first or American nationalism. America, while it does have very strongly defined national interests, was also part of a global or a European dream of how to overcome the oligarchies in Europe. There were many people who saw America as the model for what should be done to get rid of the kings and the dukes and the families of Europe.
Thing going on, by the way, in Hong Kong and in communist China. The reason why the emperor in China, Xi, is in a panic is because there's a rise of young, smart engineers and other smart people trained in other countries in China. And that's why they're putting down now the Uyghurs, not just because they're Muslim, but putting down the people in Hong Kong because they don't want the emergence of autonomy, self-determination, and democracy, do they?
I disagree with you on that, Bill. The Hong Kong operation is run by the same people who run...
No, I know it is, but there's multiple strains going on here. You're right. It's run by these people who want to do revolution, but the fact
it's
is...
It's people
I know
who are against Trump who are supporting it. Because
there's multiple vectors here. That's one of the vectors. But the other vector, because I have Hong Kong relatives are there, what I see happening is, and I have this for other people in China that I know, that in China there's a lot of persecution. There's not 3.6 million under citizens. There's 13.5 million now, and it's growing really rapidly. And they're using WhatsApp and social media and our tech companies to help the Chinese government to track people. And if they don't support the communist regime, they get raided so they can't get on a train, plane, or even get health care or drugs. And people need to understand the Chinese are starting to get very agitated, not just in Hong Kong. We're talking about all across China. Don't even have to be Muslim. And the same thing is going on in Russia, by the way, even against Putin. And Putin would like to open things up, but there's various elements in Russia trying to go backwards toward the Soviet Union. He would love to actually work with Trump to get into the G8, to not be militaristically putting all our money into weapons, and actually have an economy again. But you see, the West and the banks don't want Russia to collaborate with us. They don't want us to collaborate on science and technology or defensive Earth strategy, and the same with the Chinese. And there's multiple vectors going on here. It's not just one. You're right, the vector of Trump.
The most important dynamic is that the Western financial system is imploding because the failure of neoliberal economics. Let me just make this point. The Chinese and the Russians know it. And LaRouche, back in the 1980s, when he was the person who forecast the coming collapse of the Soviet Union.
Right.
And by the way, tomorrow is the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Yeah, in fact, I saw it on Fox this morning. They're kind of talking about it, about the Berlin Wall.
Well, here's what happened. When LaRouche was negotiating with the Soviet Union on behalf of Reagan, Reagan sent him to negotiate with the Russians to see if they would support the SDI and join with the United States to deploy it. When the Russians under Andropov rejected that and then later reaffirmed that rejection by Gorbachev, LaRouche said in 1984 that within 5 years, the Russian economy would collapse. Now, he was off by about a year.
He was pretty close, though, wasn't he? Pretty close.
Well, he was. And at that time, nobody thought the Russian economy would collapse. Now, here's the other thing that happened. October 12, 1988, and I know this date because that's my birthday.
Uh-huh.
In October 1988, Lin gave an address at the Kempinski Hotel in Berlin.
Right.
And he said, within the next year or two, there will be a reunified Germany with Berlin as the capital.
Wow.
Now, what happened? A year and a month later, the Berlin Wall fell. And he was able to make that forecast because he understood what happens when you deprive the physical economy to try to sustain bubble economies, even if the bubble economy is to defend oligarchs or for the purposes of providing income for oligarchs. Now, what Lin said increasingly leading into 2008, and he did a webcast July 2007 where he said there's no way we're not going to have a banking crash.
But which you did, and by the way, they never fixed anything. The movie The Big Short showed they never fixed a damn thing, did they? Please continue.
You don't need The Big Short movie to know that. All you have to do is look at the Dodd-Frank bill, which is a continuation of fraudulent banking.
I read a report, and I do videos every day, a news review. The actual amount of money that the world governments all over the world, and the bankers are now tightening up. That's why we have revolutions in Chile and Venezuela and Ecuador and so on. The reason is the bankers have decided to put the noose on the economy. And they now are in debt. All these countries, including America, are in debt to the total $188 trillion, more than the entire GDP of the world by many times.
Well, what LaRouche pointed out in 2007 is that we were going to have a banking crash. And when that happened, he said that if they try to fix it with bailouts, they can buy some time. But the system is fundamentally cracking. It's systemically flawed.
Right.
And, you know, what we're now seeing is warnings coming from everywhere, including from the International Monetary Fund and others, that the policy of quantitative easing didn't solve the problem. So they tried to tighten. You're right. They tried to tighten.
It's like giving a bunch of blood to a bleeding patient that's not going to the OR yet, and they're still bleeding all over the emergency room floor, but you gave them 20 pints of blood, but they're bleeding at 18 pints an hour. And so the problem is if they don't get them to the operating room and change the economy, the patient, the world economy, is going to crash and die.
Well, and what
kill a lot of people, right?
What he warned about is that the continuation of this policy not only won't succeed, but it will require fascist economic policies to protect the banks. Now, what happened is at a certain point, 3 years ago, they said, look, we've got to stop the quantitative easing, we've got to raise interest rates, and we've got to deleverage. That is, the central banks to sell off the worthless assets they were taking on in return for the bailout.
Right.
And the bailout was probably between $23 and $27 trillion to banks and insurance companies in the United States and Europe. Now, what started happening?
So like AOC, they printed from the magic money tree, didn't they?
Well, what then happened is as they started tightening, you started having threats of corporate bankruptcies.
Right.
Of blowout of hedge funds, of banks like Deutsche Bank, of Bank of America.
Right.
And so as a result, Powell and others decided they'd better start opening the spigots again.
Right.
But they can't just do that because they've been doing that and it isn't working. So
I heard that the last few months, actually, they reached a point where the repo, which is really high interest rates on reprocessing banking loans and so on, is now reached the point where they can't even fix that. I mean, they don't have the money to even kind of extend the loan.
Markets, because I just wrote an article.
Yeah, when we come back, we're going to go over that because you know it, man. You're amazing. We're going to need all these details, and people love the show because they're going to hear stuff that they're going to hear on Fox or MSLSD or whatever. They're going to hear it here with you and LaRouche.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Red Deer Velvet DR is an amazing new product with a patent to preserve 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones, same as fetal life, where you don't age at all. The state of fetal life allows the 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones produced by the placenta to be supportive of the regeneration of tissues and organs, with maximum apoptosis changing the tissue and organ structure of a fetus. That's why if fetal surgery is performed, there is no scar. Taking 2 to 3 capsules twice a day with oncomycin, myco D2, provides an amazing support for regeneration of any tissue and organ in the body, and even advanced stem cell therapy support treatment. Do get NutraMedical's Red Deer Velvet DR from Dr. Bill Deagle at NutraMedical.com, NUTRIMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well and stay young with NutraMedical. Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871. At NutriMedical.com, we have the most amazing drinks with the best mouthfeel, highest quality bionutrient exposure to your body to heal and regenerate, and the most powerful persistence of nutrients to heal your body dramatically. We have Ageless, which makes you age less, which repairs your DNA, extends your telomeres, etc. We have Life Support that detoxes phase 2 detox pathways, glucuronidation, sulfation, and methylation pathway support. We have Glycemics that blocks the carbohydrate absorption and helps with diabetes or weight loss, and as well helps with people that are trying to build up muscle, using things like our special formulas from Dr. Wolf called Mega Muscles between meals along with Sports Energy Light. We have the amazing NutriComplete, the most complete red and greens drink in the world, with the best mouthfeel and flavor. You can often mix it too with Vitamin Mineral Mix, which is our fruit flavored mix power of vitamins. Stay well with NutriMedical every day.
I remember when I lost my mind.
And welcome back. Harley, please continue. Even on the breaks, you have such amazing information. Please repeat and expand on it.
Well, we were talking about the economy. And what I was saying is that after the release of over $20 trillion of cash, what the Fed was doing was they were taking in assets from the banks in return for the money they were releasing. Now, what happened in doing this was that they were getting increasingly worthless assets sitting in the Federal Reserve. And so part of the process of ending the quantitative easing was to deleverage, to sell off these assets, which weren't worth very much, but they were forcing people to take them, including hedge funds, with the promise that, don't worry, we'll have money for you if you need it. Well, right. What happened is that these corporations continued to borrow money like crazy to do such stupid things as buying their own stock.
Wow.
And at a point...
Yeah, that's what's happened. By the way, the Chinese didn't do that. They followed Hamiltonian economics. They built infrastructure, like, I think, 25,000 miles of high-speed rail and factories and warehouses and everything. And what we did is we actually pumped up the big banks. So it's like taking pigs that are ready for market and make them 40 to 50% fatter. And a lot of the smaller medium banks disappeared, didn't they?
Well, and what happened then is that as the banks were lending money to their blue chip customers,
right,
the blue chip customers were not investing in new plant and equipment, but
right,
looking for higher returns. So they were going to riskier and riskier investments. But what then, something happened in early September of this year,
right,
where there was the overnight markets all of a sudden were incapable, private markets were incapable of providing the liquidity needs, and there was an emergency call put out, and no one knows for sure yet who it was, but they suspect it might be Deutsche Bank or some other large bank or hedge fund that was about to have a domino effect collapse of derivatives. So as a result, starting on September 16th, they were making initially $25 to $30 billion a night available on overnight loans, 24-hour loans.
Whoa.
Now, the reason was because banks and others needed money, and the interest rates started going up to the 7 to 10% level.
Yeah, I know, which, they're around at least 8 plus now, and it makes it impossible to finance this repo money.
Well, they were trying to keep the interest rates down below 3%.
Right.
So in order to do that, they had to give these emergency overnight loans. But what they said is these will be limited time only and a limited amount only. They said a ceiling would be $35 billion. Then the ceiling was raised to $45 billion, then $70 billion. And then at a certain point, it went up over $100 billion. Plus, instead of just 24-hour loans, they started making 14-day loans on the repo markets. And then it expanded to October, then till the end of November, and now they're saying to the end of the first quarter of 2020. Then on top of that, the Federal Reserve announced that they're going to begin a new form of quantitative easing of $60 billion a month, in which they're going to take in, again, the junk bonds that are on the books of banks in return for cash.
Let me throw something out while you're doing this, and I want to get your response.
I think
it's all by design. Okay, please continue.
But the point that has to be made here is that this is continuing. They're not really talking about it. The Fed had an emergency meeting a few weeks ago in which they said, we're not going to call this quantitative easing four.
Right.
And then Neil Kashkari, the Federal Reserve Chair of Minneapolis, said, but it is quantitative easing. And they said, well, not really. So they're keeping this as secretive as they can to try to convince people that there's no problem. Now,
right,
before you say it's all by design, I want to say something about this. They do not want to see the system crash, but they don't know how to stop it. And so under those circumstances, the next less worse option for them is to let things crash so they can use hyperinflation.
Well, let me throw something out here that people need to understand. It's layers of called high-level secret orders of masonry. When I've talked to people that are, say, a certain level, like, let's say, the York Wright 17th level, they don't really aware of the seven levels of illumination of the 33rd level, and they don't realize there's levels beyond that. Well, it's the same thing here. These economists say, well, we got to keep the system going. There's various, I call, devils that are running our world economy that want to seek the annihilation of the current system, even if it causes a lot of death and destruction, because they already have in the wings a replacement for it that's very nasty. It's literally right out of the movie The Matrix. And people don't realize, although there's lots of people who are bought in and bankers and so on to the idea of maintaining the system, which is basically unmaintainable, there's a bunch of higher level monsters and devils that want it blown up because they have a replacement that's even more controlling of the world population. Please continue.
Well, their fallback option is mass murder.
Right.
This is the
mass
this
murder, is the, genocide, economic chaos. You know, turning off the lights, stopping farming, and even the green agenda. When you see the demon rats, these people are not rational. For example, 93% of abortionists don't support third trimester or infanticide. These demon rats, every damn one of them supports infanticide and late-term abortion when even first trimester abortionists wouldn't do it. So this is pretty bizarre. Then when you look at their green agenda, it's a pre-industrial age. They can't even support 8 billion people. You can only support maybe half a billion to a billion people on the entire planet. So without advanced energy technology, which allows us to be released, you don't have a population you can support. You can't have industrial agriculture or anything. I mean, people don't understand this.
That's something that's pretty well known that goes back to the reports in the 50s and 60s by the Club of Rome and then later Meadows and Forrester at MIT, the limits to growth studies. But here's the important thing, because you know these guys think they know what they're doing and they think they can control it. But
right. If
you look at – and let me just take this in two phases. First of all, you had Brexit, the Trump election, the Italian rebellion, and so on. Now,
right. They
thought those were under control. They thought they could ease their way out of Brexit. They thought they could impeach Trump. They thought they could pull a coup against Salvini in Italy. But now what we're seeing is a whole second level of these operations with the French yellow vests. We see it in terms of at the end of this month, there are going to be tens of thousands of farmers taking tractors in the major cities in Germany. We see
that. By the way, that's also happening in Canada. The yellow vests are in Canada too, by the way. Please continue.
Yeah. Now, you also have rebellion against neoliberal economic policies in Argentina, where Macri, who is the Wall Street darling, was just crushed in an election, and he's on his way out. You have Pineda in Peru, who's a continuation of the Milton Friedman Pinochet regime in Chile of privatizing everything. You have half the population of Chile out in the streets protesting, and so much protest that they had to cancel the ASEAN meeting and the COP25 meeting in Santiago.
Right.
So we're seeing a rebellion worldwide.
Yeah, in many countries, not just one country. It's all over the world, isn't it? And what I've heard the last 2 weeks is the banks are now closing the cinch on refinancing even home loans or anything or industrial expansion. They're closing everything down just the last few weeks, aren't they? Everywhere, not just in America.
Well, what LaRouche said when Trump got elected is this is not just an American thing. This is going to happen around the world.
Right.
And what we're seeing at the same time that the Western economies are collapsing and that those countries that have listened to the International Monetary Fund are having rebellions.
Right.
You have some countries that are doing quite well. And this is where I don't believe the propaganda coming out from anti-China sources, because the actual tendency in China – and I have friends who are there.
No, I know that. In fact, the general move in China is they want to collaborate with the West. They want to move. And by the way, some of their extreme policies
happy
like
– because they're happy, Bill, because people are being employed. The whole argument that China is enslaving their Muslim population – is coming from the people who are the Falun Gong, which is an anti-Christian religious cult.
Now, let me just
make the simple point. What the Chinese are saying is that because there are so many unemployed Muslims in Xinjiang province, that they have a breeding ground for terrorism.
Right.
And so what they did is they went in and they offered job training. And they invited Western observers to come and visit these so-called detention camps and concentration camps. And they won't do it because
they're training to be things like welders and electricians and other things. They're not just
to work on the Belt and Road projects,
right?
And
people don't get that. See, the Chinese have got a different philosophy. The West doesn't understand this, but the Chinese psyche. My great great grandfather and great great grandmother actually managed the descendants of the Belt and Road project. It was the ancient one, basically called the Silk Trail. That went from Damascus, Syria, the largest caravan, to China twice a year. My great-great-grandmother walked to China twice a year beside the camels, carrying, you know, gemstones and other things to China and trade for silk, etc. And what people don't understand is that we have a modern incarnation of that actually could stabilize the world, and we need to have a defensive Earth strategy, not only for transitioning to the higher level of technology, extending the lifespan, but also protecting our planet from incoming asteroids. We had it at Halloween. we had an asteroid that's a city crasher just whizzed by the Earth under 4,000 miles. People don't understand a coronal mass ejection, a pole shift, or climate change that's completely not connected to any human activity could cause major ecological catastrophe, and we could intervene, but we need to collaborate as a world of scientists and countries rather than just being at each other's throats while all this stuff happens.
Let me just go back to this whole question in Xinjiang province, because this is very important. The Chinese view is that the radical imams can recruit where there are young people who are, including Muslims, who are on drugs, who are unemployed, who are unhappy. Right. And if you instead educate them and give them a future, you cut down the recruitment of the terrorists.
Right.
You contrast that to what's done in places like London, where they allow the radical imams to recruit, or even in the U.S. prison system.
Well, listen, in the U.S., 78% of the imams and the mosques in America allow terrorism. I've had Dr. Bill Warner, professor from TSU, who translates the Hadith and the Quran, and he's lectured all over the world. And you're absolutely correct. We permit extreme Islam to be done, and it doesn't need to be, because if we provide them jobs, give them a future, they'll become moderate Muslims, like some of the Muslims in America. They're becoming Islamified by the American culture, so that they're stopping the idea of creating violence or superseding them with their Sharia laws, our laws, or the planning violence against American citizens. So you're absolutely correct. Please.
Well, and that's what the Chinese are doing through education. And yet
right.
you have idiots like Marco Rubio, who Trump correctly identified as little Marco, who had to be crushed. Rubio is doing...
Well, he's a globalist. He's a globalist. He's another functionary, right?
He's trying to sabotage Trump's outreach to China.
Exactly.
Well, you know where they're going to meet now? They're going to meet in Iowa. And this is important. The former governor of Iowa, Branstad, is the ambassador to China. And what they're talking about is massive increase in exports from Iowa farmers into China. So
right.
Trump is trying to move on this thing, trying to bring it together. And you have people like Rubio and the anti-China crowd who are arresting Chinese-American scientists who are at major labs and institutions saying that they're spies for China. This is the worst kind of racism.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it's, of course, scientific and technical racism that puts us all in danger, because, you see, we have world challenges. It has nothing to do with governments or whatever, that's completely, you know, outside the planet, outside the solar system, and we're not approaching that. We're not even approaching the science of toxicology. For example, our environment's deteriorating from things like Fukushima, toxic food, toxic chemicals, and electropollution, which, by the way, we have to address. Unfortunately, Trump is surrounded by knuckleheads and idiots that want to push 5G when we should be pushing fiber optic and light-emitting diodes in your ceiling rather than the idea of electropollution. But the thing is, as you say, the Chinese want to educate their people so that we have representative government. And I believe the violence and the things that are the negative aspects of China will go away once we start collaborating, just like with Russia. Once they get into the G8 and we actually start collaborating.
Well, Joe, I'll make a simple point. American society is more violent than Chinese society right now.
Well, I know that. I mean, obviously, that's why places like Chicago that are gun-free, and that's unfortunately one of the things in Mexico. The gun-free zones in Mexico encourage the cartels to persecute and kill people like those Mormon families that are polygamous in northern Mexico.
Yeah.
Amazing, hey?
Yep.
Amazing and truth, boy. Wow, you're amazing. We should do some video sometime. Give me a shot when you can.
In the meantime, people should go to LaRouchePack.com and read up what we put up there every single day.
Absolutely. Thank you, thank you. Amazing show. We'll be back next week. And if you want to do some more video on the weekend or whatever, give me a shot. We should do a multi-site conference on a weekend earlier, like in the morning. Back in a moment with Hour 3, and we're going to have a remarkable guest, Dr. Truat.